Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to read this story in verse 9 through 15. In the NRSV version, it says, "So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became angry and went away saying, 'I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would have waved his hand over the spot and cured the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' He turned away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, 'Father, if the prophet commanded you to do something difficult, would you not done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?' So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean." In verse 15, it says, "Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, 'Now I know. First I thought, but now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant.'" Now, for those of you who are watching and you might be the note-taking type, I want to give you this as the title of my message: Get Low. 2 words, 6 letters. Get low. Now, if you're a millennial like myself, or you ain't been saved too long, you might have some lyrics scrolling through your head, and I want to call you back to focus, because that's not what I'm talking about right now. But as we think about this story, what exactly is happening? Well, Naaman is an important man. He's a well-known man, and the scriptures at the beginning of this chapter go so far as to say he is a great man. The Hebrew word used here is gadol. It says that he's an ish gadol, a great man, a word that indicated that he was prominent and revered, someone who demanded respect. But you see, this great man had a problem. We aren't told much about him, but beyond his greatness and the knowledge of his power and privilege, we know that he's Aramean. We know that God had given him victory, even though he was an enemy of Israel. And we know that as an enemy of Israel, his army had raided Israel and taken slaves and trafficked slaves. And so we get a glimpse into a conversation in his house where an Israelite slave girl is aware of his one issue. He's a leper. Despite his wealth and his position, his worldly possessions, he has an incurable skin disease, and it's literally a blemish on who he is. And so in her advice, the slave girl tells him to go to the prophet of Israel to be healed. And so he shows up to the king of Israel instead with a caravan and with all the resources he could put together. And he was too prideful to do what the slave girl recommended. And so he's recognizing that despite his high status, he's going to have to get low. And that's really where we pick up in this portion of the story that we read, because Naaman pulls up to the home of Elisha, the protege of Elijah. And when this wealthy, well-known commander rolls into Samaria with his caravan of chariots, horses, and camels, he expects the red carpet treatment. He expects Elisha to drop everything, and yet Elisha doesn't even come out. Once again, this man's a leper. Elisha can't even be near him. And so instead of being met with the reverence and awe and servitude that he's used to, he's met by a servant that says, "Hey, man, if you want to be fixed, you got to go dip in the Jordan." And it's in this moment that Naaman has had shattered expectations. And that's my first point today: shattered expectations. Now, you might say, "Pastor, how do you know that? How do you know his expectations were shattered?" Well, I'll tell you in verse 11. It says, "Naaman became angry and went away saying, 'I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. I thought it would be easier than this. I thought I wouldn't have to do anything. I thought. You know, my man Naaman had a fit. First of all, you got me all the way down here from Damascus. I brought my whole entourage, loaded up my two-door cherry red chariot, and you want me to do what? You want me to get my tunic dirty in this dingy creek y'all call a river? The Jordan, of all places? I'm from the place where we have the great Euphrates River. I'm from a place where Abana and Pharpar are much better. They would make more sense if we're talking about healing. I could have done that back home. I thought this prophet would do something magical, but he didn't even come outside. I thought my position and prestige would buy me special access. I thought my knowledge would keep me from having a problem. I thought I wouldn't have to do anything and the man of God would do everything. I thought. And as much as it looks like Naaman is this spoiled, entitled, self-interested individual, we find ourselves having to ask, where have our expectations been shattered? Where have we had to wrestle with being let down? I thought we'd be done dealing with COVID by now. I thought my kids would get it together by now. I thought I would be healed by now. I thought I wouldn't be dealing with this sin by now. I thought I'd have a better job by now. And it goes on and on. I thought. And we don't recognize how much we thought we would have or should have moved through a place, and God allows us the opportunity to reflect. You know, in chapter 9 of 1,000 Gifts, Anne Voskamp quotes Henry Beecher, who says, "True humility is self-smallness, and a proud person is seldom a grateful person because they never think they get as much as they deserve." A proud person is seldom a grateful person because they never think they get as much as they deserve. Instead of Naaman being grateful for the servant girl that pointed him to God, instead of gratitude for the means to get to the healing, instead of a swift action, Naaman is stuck with unmet expectations. And if you look at our story, Naaman was not willing to be small. He wasn't willing to get low. He wasn't willing to do the simple yet small thing because he didn't get what he thought he deserved. If we're truly honest and reflective, we always lean into all the good things we think we deserve. We conveniently forget the bad things we deserve. "I thought" and "I deserve" are phrases that we have to be careful if we're to live lives that honor God. I mean, Naaman's bad attitude and fit of rage came from his unmet expectation in the face of a challenge. But this is where we have to realize that just as much as God was willing to heal Naaman's health, God was more concerned about helping Naaman's heart. God was trying to fuel Naaman's hope through a posture of humility, and that happened as he was shifted through experience. Shifted through experience. That's my second point. You see, after dealing with shattered expectations, he was shifted through experience. Nothing about Naaman's condition changed until he made a commitment to lower himself over and over again, to follow the directions that were given to him. And it was his servants. It was his servants that said, "Hey, man, with all due respect, we came a long way and we've been listening to you go on and on about your bad eczema. And now you won't do the one thing the prophet told you to do." You know, as an aside, I love how the unlikely heroes in this story are the servants. They could have stayed quiet, but they spoke up because this man who was an enemy of God had an opportunity to be healed. You see, sometimes it's the simplest things that God calls us to do, and we get an attitude because it's not as glamorous as what we had in mind. We may think we deserve to be in the pulpit, but we won't serve in the parking lot. We may think we deserve to lead a small group, but scoff at the idea of being a good armor bearer. God calls us to apologize, but then it's, "God, it ain't my fault." God wants us to confess our sins, but, "God, I don't want nobody in my business." God calls us to show mercy, but God, they don't deserve it. God calls us to love our neighbor, and yet, God, they're unlovable. You know, God is asking us the same thing that God was trying to convey to Naaman. Are you willing to be shifted through experience? Not through the idea, not through reflection, but through actually doing what needs to be done. You know, God may be calling you to get back on the battlefield, to get back invested in someone's life, to sharing the scriptures, to pointing to the goodness of God through your own experiences. And you haven't allowed your heart to be shifted. You haven't sat down and shared your life and your love for God or gratitude for God with anyone since 2019. And you thought things would be different. And yet there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for you to be shifted through experience. And so you might ask, how do I do that? Practically, it becomes the question of when was the last time you reached out to someone and just asked how they're navigating through this pandemic? Instead of being so concerned about everything you're going through, when was the last time you just said, you know what? I at least have a relationship with God and access to people who care about me. Let me extend that to somebody who might not have that. When was the last time you shared encouragement with someone more than your complaints? When was the last time you decided to battle through, even when you're discouraged, to encourage somebody else? Y'all, there's a dying world losing hope every second of every day, and God is willing to use whoever and whatever to bring light. You know, in this story, there's a real shift that takes place, and there's something that we don't quite get in the English language. I mean, we see it, but when I really dug into this, it was so interesting to me how the story started off with Naaman being Ish Gadol, a great man of importance, revered, prominent. But through his obedience, through the completion of his healing and his restoration, he became like a Na'ar Katon, an unimportant boy. From a great man, the healing made him like an unimportant boy. You know, in this healing, Naaman was freed from all the other things that didn't matter. He was freed in a way that allowed him to find shalom in emancipation. Y'all know I like my alliteration. So you have shattered expectations. You have him shifted in experience. And finally, you have shalom in emancipation. You see, in verse 15, Naaman was freed. He was freed from the expectations he once had. He was freed from pagan worship. He was freed from pretense, and he was able to find true shalom. Although he didn't interact with Elijah before, he was now able to stand before the man of God in shalom. As I get ready to close, I want to ask you, when was the last time you found shalom in emancipation? If you want me to translate it, here it is. When was the last time you rested in absolute peace, wholeness, and tranquility through your freedom in Christ? When was the last time you were able to really embrace that through Jesus, through the blood that was shed for you? If you have believed, repented, and been baptized, you have opportunity to rest. When was the last time? You know, if we don't shatter our expectations and shift through our experiences and find shalom and emancipation, we will go through another year full of constant anxiety, feeding our insecurity and fighting people who want to help us. Now, I do want to embrace the reality that, yes, it's been hard, but God positions us to be able to have the resources to deal. Just like in this story, God intricately and intimately was intertwined with everything that happened in order for Naaman to find healing. And I believe that God does the same thing with all of us. But are we willing to lean into it? You know, I want to meditate on Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, 3-5 in the NIV says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dirt. It's something to think about. God is our refuge. The Lord himself is the rock eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare to take communion, I want us to remember how the Lord is the rock eternal that grants us peace. The one who decided to get so low that he took the beatings and the torture and the endured crucifixion so that we might have an opportunity. The one himself who was a great man, but chose to live as one who was unimportant so that we might have a chance to embrace the truth of the gospel. That man is Jesus. And so I want to invite you, no matter where you are on your journey, we want to come alongside you. We want to be able to walk with you. We want to see how God wants to shift you through experience so that you can find that shalom and emancipation. And so don't hesitate. If you're wondering if this is the sign, if this is it, it is. Send us a message. Connect with us. Brothers and sisters, if you have fallen off the horse, it's okay. You see, Naaman had to go back and dip himself 7 times in order for his restoration to be complete. What that tells me is this. Sometimes we got to do the same thing over and over again to be obedient to God, to get our hearts rearranged. And that's okay. And so as you drink the juice that represents the blood of Jesus, as you eat the cracker that represents his body, I want you to remember that God works when you decide to get low. Let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, you're way too majestic. You're way too powerful. And yet, there's a tenderness that you attend to us with. God, I pray that as we take this time to reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus, that we don't take for granted the opportunities we have to share your goodness and your hope with those around us. God, let us show the light that you have given us. Let us lean into the light you have given us so that you will be known. We love you. We praise in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.